Hello, everyone.
Hey.
It's us, and we're back.
Yes, it is episode 83 of Catnaps and Cognac.
Meow.
We are your hosts. I'm Ariel.
And I'm Dee Dee. And again, this is Catnaps and Cognac. If you are a return listener, thank you so much for coming back. And if this is your first time listening to us, thank you so much for joining us. And we hope that you will go back and check out the other 82 episodes.
Yeah.
So, Ari, how are you?
I am not bad. How are you?
Not so bad. This morning, it was, like, raining really, really bad in the middle of the night. And, like, I was, like, awakened, startled by the loud crack of thunder at, like, 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had the craziest dreams last night. I don't remember them, but I remember them being crazy. Like, every time I eat pizza before I go to bed, I always have the nuttiest dreams.
Here you go. It's pizza.
I cannot have pizza, like, after 8 o'clock.
Mm-mm-mm.
I'm like an old lady. I can't have pizza after 8 o'clock. It repeats on me.
I mean, it's like that for most junk foods.
Yeah, no pizza after 8. Yeah, and spicy food, too. Whenever, if I have spicy food too late, and then I go to sleep, I'll have, like, crazy dreams. I wonder if spicy foods and pizza have a lot of vitamin B6, because vitamin B6 helps facilitate your dream receptors.
Maybe there's a lot of B6 in tomatoes.
Must be. I don't know about spicy food,
though. I'm going to say it's that.
I'm going to say that, too, because every time I eat, because if I eat spaghetti for dinner, I don't have these nutty dreams.
Okay, all right. Then I got nothing.
Me It's just pizza. Anyway, should we get into the show?
Yeah, let's get into the show.
All right, so what do we have first?
All right, well, first up for our rumor mill, I mean, technically this isn't a rumor because the artist that we're going to talk about actually said what he had to say, but Tyga, the rapper Tyga, called Drake fake, and he said that he's not friends with Drake or Nicki Minaj, which is kind of odd because they're on the same label. Not saying you have to be friends, but just because you're on the same label, but, you know, they've been in songs together, and I don't know, I always thought that Young Money was like a little family, like a real family. So for him to come out and say that Drake is fake and that he's not really into Nicki and all the other kind of stuff is kind of like, whoa. So he's been saying a lot of stuff in on Twitter a few weeks ago, like about the Young Money label. I guess they were like halting his album from being released, so he was really upset about that. So now what he said in an interview with Vibe magazine for their digital cover story is he said that he's trying to distance himself from Young Money. And he said, they asked, oh, are you trying to back out on your own? And he said, yeah, I'm trying to go independent. I don't really get along with Drake. I don't really get along with Nicki. Now, honestly, he did not have to say that just based off of their question, but the cat's out of the bag. They asked him why, and he said, I don't like Drake as a person. He's just fake to me. I like his music. You know what I'm saying? I think his music is good, but we're all different people. We were forced together, and it was kind of like we're forcing relationships together. It is what it is, but I've been friends with Chris Brown for about 6 years. That's my real genuine friend. We hang out all the time. He lives up the street from me, so we don't just do music. We hang. I think being signed to Young Money, everybody felt like they had to force a relationship because Wayne put us together. At the end of the day, the reason why I signed to Young Money is because of Wayne, not because of Drake, not because of Nicki. It was because of Wayne and my relationship with him. I try to be cool with everybody, but sometimes everybody has different personalities, motives, and different characters. When you realize that it's not a place where you want to continue to grow.
Ew. Because, like, first of all, you are talking smack about my two favorite people in the world, Nicki Minaj and Drake. Who cares about you, Tyga? And, like, what does he mean that he's not really feeling Nicki? Like, wasn't it, I forget which award ceremony it was, but she brought him up on stage with him. Like, Nicki's not one of those people who just, like...
Who be friends with everybody.
Yeah, who just gets along with everybody. Like, if she don't fuck with you, she don't fuck with you. And she's not gonna bring you up on stage with her to accept any award or do anything.
Ooh, you sound like a real Barb's right now.
I am a Barb. I'm so upset. And then, okay, that's fine. I get it. Him and Drake don't get along. And also, it's kind of tough when you have... When Chris is your really good friend and Drake and Chris have their, you know, little issues. So that I can understand that. However, you have to be more diplomatic when you go about these kind of things, especially like being on a label and you're calling them out and you're upset and things like that. Like, they could drop you. I mean, I don't know if he has enough money to go and start his own label and then be independent, but like, I'm gonna tell you right now, I really don't feel, ain't nobody out there like, yo, Tyga's mixtape or Tyga's album is fire. Like, nobody's really talking about Tyga like that.
I mean, I honestly don't know him beyond Rack City.
Oops.
I mean, and that's not even to be shady, that's just being...
That's being real, it's yeah. Not even shady. Right, and so that's the thing, so like, he's got a lot of nerve. Like, you talking big talk for somebody who's... not necessarily in the position to talk so big. And now I'm mad because one of my favorite songs on his album, which I actually have, is a song with him and Nicki Minaj called Crank This Motherfucker Up. Crank This Motherfucker Up. That's my shit.
Well, that's what's going on with Tyga, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out because we all know that Nicki is not one to hold her tongue.
Yeah.
Granted, he did not really say that much about her. He just said that, like, I don't really get along with her. So maybe something happened between them to make, you know, make him feel how he does. Ooh. So, I mean, so considering, you know, that you said that she brought him up on stage, so maybe something happened in between now and then, obviously, where... You know, I don't really mess with her like that no more. And the same thing maybe happened with Drake. Or maybe he just never even was really feeling Drake. However, I do love the motto. I love that song. He's on that song, right? It's Tyga, Drake, and Wayne, right?
That must be... The one with Tyga must be the video edit.
Yeah. I like that one.
Oh, I've never heard that one.
And I love the video, too. But...
No, I've never paid attention to him on there.
I'm just saying, I just like the song as a whole.
No, yeah.
And
I'm honestly not being shady. I just don't, I don't remember him on the motto. Which is, yeah, that must be the video version.
He went last.
Okay.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how everything all plays out. And if Drake will have something to say too.
Yeah.
I feel like Drake doesn't really, like, respond to certain things.
He definitely doesn't, which is what I like. He definitely doesn't. There are certain things, and if he feels that it's, like, super beneath him, he just won't even say anything. He'll just tweet right through it.
If he tweets at all.
It's just, like, whatever. And some bullshit will be going on, and then he's telling you about, like, the six. Like, sir, everybody's upset about this thing. You talking about the six in Toronto, like, can you address the issues at hand? But it's like, for him, he just doesn't really care, which I do kind of like. Like, I mean, you know, if don't fan the flame if you don't want it to get bigger.
Right. So good point.
That's definitely his, I feel that that's his approach to a lot of things when there's beef and stuff like that. And then he'll make like slick comments in like a song, you know, a month later. And it's like, oh, okay, I got you. You're real subtle with it.
Right,
okay.
A song that he'll debut at, like, 4 a.m.
Right. 6.
Get out of here. Anyways, what else is happening?
Well, I don't know if y'all heard, but rumor has it, Fantasia's married.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she was some Hall of Fame awards in North Carolina. She was being inducted into the Hall of Fame. And she was there with her boo thing in the picture. And if you... And the caption read something like, I'm his missus, he's my mister. And then if you look closely, both of them have on, well, the guy has on a wedding band, and she has on her, you know, engagement and wedding ring in the picture. So rumor has it that they got married. And now, here's another, picture that was posted, her rumored husband has her name tattooed on his chest. And in the picture, he's doing like the little hand signs for shush, and you see with his left hand, and you see his wedding band in the tattoo. Okay. And I like that. The S in Fantasia is a treble clef, which is very cute.
Nice.
I love that. I'm definitely going to have to start writing my first name with a treble clef now because I love it. And I'm never going to tell you guys my first name, so you can just go to hell if you don't know
Excuse me.
Well, you know it, so I'm
not telling you. I know, but jeez. All right.
So, on the Cold Bitchies website, now we know it's real. Getting a tattoo of your boo's name or face spells death and can sometimes put a spell on the relationship. So far, that's come true for Nas and Khalees, Wiz and Amber, and Mariah and Nick. But we definitely hope that won't be the case for Fantasia and her rumored husband, Kendall Taylor. Sunday night, Fantasia's man let the singer know that his love for her was real by getting a tattoo of her name right on his chest. The huge piece also serves as notice that the COO is also the singer's protector because her name is actually part of a larger piece. Covering his entire left pectoral and shoulder is a tattoo of a suit of armor, which has Fantasia's name inked right in the middle.
So it's right over his heart.
Right over his heart. Well, considering the fact that Mercury is in retrograde, that was not a smart thing to do. So I'm going to tell you right now. Well, I feel bad, V, because this relationship's going to be very tumultuous.
Dang.
Yeah, getting married. Like, you're not supposed to do any contracts, do anything, you know, major signing stuff, inking stuff on your body, during Mercury in retrograde. So,
well, in their defense, we don't know exactly when they got married. Mm-hmm. They could have gotten married sometime last month, but it just seems that it just came out this month and that she maybe just, when she put that on Instagram, then it was, hey, we are Mr. and Mrs. and we got these rings on.
Well, let's hope they didn't.
So wait, let's hope that that's not the case. If that is the case. If that is the case.
Let's hope. What is he a COO of?
I have no clue.
Who cares?
Right. He's no Stedman.
Charlene.
No.
So let's hope that they didn't get married in Mercury in retrograde. And we're gonna hope for the best of them. Fantasia, you know what? You deserve it. You've been through a lot of BS, and hopefully this guy is a good guy, because the guy that you were with prior to him was not.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that was that guy who was married, and they were having an affair, and then,
she tried to commit suicide.
Right. Like, there was a lot of foolishness.
A lot going on.
Yeah, so we're going to keep their relationship and their marriage and their union lifted in prayer. And hope for all the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
So.
What's next?
Moving on to current events. What do we have for current events?
Well, for current events, the first thing, so we have another new black female cast member on Saturday Night Live, and her name is Leslie Jones. I don't remember the other stuff that she's been in, but she has an obnoxious face.
Whoa. And, you were like,
yeah, the shots are being fired, bro. So fired. She has an obnoxious face. I think her comedy is obnoxious. I just don't find her very funny. And I think she's perfect for a Saturday Night Live, because Saturday Night Live is no longer funny. So, great. Now her and Sashir Zamata can be, you know, the two black girls on Saturday Night Live. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I don't think she's very funny from what I've seen, like, when she's done the Weekend Update. I do like watching SNL every once in a while. So, I don't know. I'm not too sure about how she's going to do. But then again, like, I'm not really a big fan of any of the people on Saturday Night Live. I think the last person that I liked on Saturday Night Live, or SNL, I'm just calling it, because I clearly can't say Saturday. was the guy from Horrible Bosses. I forget his name. Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, Okay.
He was my favorite. And he's no longer on the show anymore. So it's like I don't have anyone to root for, or, like, be excited about.
Right.
Or anything like that. So honestly, I really couldn't care less that she's on the show because I don't really care for the show.
Right. I've seen her way before she was on Saturday Night Live. I didn't even know she's done the Weekend Update. She used to be on Comic View, actually. And I don't know, she was just kind of, I don't know, weird, whatever.
I don't remember her on Comic View.
Yeah, she was on Comic View. She was a lot thinner back then. Not to say that it has anything to do with her weight, but once she gained weight, like, I didn't even realize it was her until I was like, oh, like, she opened her mouth, and I was like, oh, hey, that's that lady that used to be on Comic View, who wasn't really all that funny. I mean, she was all right, but it wasn't anything to write home about. Of course, you would get a couple of chuckles here and there, but, like, nothing, I don't know. I hold SNL to a different standard. Like, I'm thinking about the days when there was, what's his name, Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon and the little lady with the, I can't remember her name
Sherry
right now.
Sherry O'Terry?
Sherry O'Terry, yes. Sherry O'Terry, Amy Poehler, like, you know, the lady who used to do Pat, I can't remember her name right now, but, like, and Maya Rudolph, of course, like, I'm thinking about those days, Eddie Murphy days, like, when people were really funny on SNL, but now, I mean, like, I remember the days when I used to, even when I was able to drive and drink, I would still come home on a Saturday to watch SNL.
Wow.
Yeah, so, but now, please, sometimes I forget that it's even still a show.
Right.
Like, it still comes on. I don't know, it's just, it's lost its luster for me.
Well, I think, you know, sometimes things get so hyped up, just going beyond Leslie Jones. Leslie Jones, she actually didn't do the Weekend Update, but she was, like, one of the guests on the Weekend Update last season.
Okay.
And one of the, the segment that she was on caused a lot of controversy because she was talking about, like, she was instituting, like a slave draft or something like that. And that was very crazy, I guess. But that aside, like, I feel like SNL, there's a lot of, you know, hoopla coming about when there's certain hosts and stuff like that. I know, like, just last week, you know, the guy who does Stefan, the guy, the kid,
yeah,
he was the host of the show. And, like, everyone, you know, you see it on BuzzFeed and Gawker and so-and-so is going to be hosting the show. It's going to be the best thing ever and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be epic and it's going to be this and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be that. And then it's like the lowest, like they had one of their lowest ratings in like years when he hosted, when he finally hosted it. So it's just like, I don't know. So like they're going to have to get something together because like what they're doing isn't working.
Yeah.
Or just have Drake host it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, just have Drake host it because when Drake hosts, he was so funny and the skits were great that day.
It was funny, like, very funny.
The writers really put on their thinking caps that episode because it was so funny. But then, like, you'll watch it the week after and it's just like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, what happened?
Did everybody forget to eat their Wheaties? Like, what's going on here? I don't know. yeah, like, what is the joke? It's not here, clearly. And then another thing with the whole Leslie Jones, and I, you know what, power to the black girl, I'm happy for you, all right, but I kind of feel like this is just a big, you know, like, here, shut the fuck up, everybody, about us not having black people on our cast. Look, we just hired two. And what I would have rathered, maybe, is for SNL to at least, like, acknowledge the fact that their crew or that their cast wasn't very diverse, and now that they've realized it, they want to make a change and do that instead of just, like, planting these two black comedians into Saturday Night Live. It's just like, okay, you know, we had to say something before you did it. Now you're going to do it like you're doing it on your own. No, you're not doing it on your own. It's because people were complaining.
Right. And it's like, and not for nothing, we're black, but, or maybe not obviously to our new listeners, we're black. But it's like, I don't always have to have a black person on the cast. Like, I would like to see someone who is, you know, Latino or who is of Asian descent, whether they're Indian or whether they're Chinese or Japanese or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many other shades to people of color. Like, you can fill that spectrum. Like, it doesn't just always have to be black. Like, yes, I love black people in the cast, and yes, I want to see myself represented, but there's so many other people that are underserved on TV.
Right. I completely agree. So, diversifying the cast doesn't, I mean, because I know they said that, like, you know, we don't have that, they don't have that many black comedians on Saturday Night Live. Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for putting two of them on there. But now, what about the Asian people? Are you gonna wait for them to make,
make us think about it.
Make us think about it before you put, you know, some more Asian people, no matter where, you know, all parts of Asia, like you said, in India and China, Thailand, you know,
dude, all like, of places. All of them.
What about, you know, Middle Eastern people? Like, I'm not talking about Jewish. I'm talking about, you know, people from Iran and Iraq and, you know, Middle Eastern people. What about them? You know, people from Saudi Arabia, they're not you know, represented on there, and they're very funny. So,
right.
Like, I mean, you know, we just need a better representation. That's all. America's this big melting pot, and we've, you know, prided ourselves on, quote unquote, you know, being the free country and allowing people to come here, and we're the country of immigrants, blah, 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 blah. But then when you look on TV, it's not, it doesn't show that. It doesn't show that at all. Mm-mm. And I think, I mean, SNL, if you want to do that, you know, do it now. Don't wait for people to make a stink about it. Like, analyze your cast and say, you know what?
Be proactive. This is like why I feel like when you're in a certain, I guess, industry or whatever, like, I'm a writer, so I'm constantly, like, looking up other people's writings, people who I don't want to say, like, I emulate, but, like, people whose writing styles I like, different authors and stuff like that, because I want to get better as a writer. If you are in TV and you're trying to showcase who's the best comedians out there, why aren't you looking to see who's the best comedians out there? Like, exactly. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, why aren't you... Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. Be proactive, not reactive.
Yeah.
That's just the slogan that we're going to throw out at you, SNL.
There we go.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll take our advice.
Let's send it to Lorne Michaels right now. Yeah. Yeah. Hello, Telegram.
All right, what else we got?
Okay, so you know, feminism is the hot word, it seems like, of the year.
Oh my God.
And this next story that we have is it's not any different. So this company called FuckHate.com, they make t-shirts with slogans on them such as "Racism is not over, but I'm over racism," or "Girls just want to have fundamental rights." So they have a video with little girls in it saying, the name of the video is called "F-Bombs for Feminism, Potty Mouth Princesses Use Bad Word for Good Cause." So I'm going to play a little bit of it so we can get a sense of what it is and then give our thoughts. You ready?
I'm ready.
Pretty. Pretty.
Pretty.
What the fuck? I'm not the pretty fucking helpless
princess in distress.
I'm pretty fucking powerful
and ready for success.
So what is more offensive?
A little girl saying fuck
or the fucking unequal and sexist way?
Treats girls and women.
It's our future.
So listen up, grown-ups.
Here's some words more fucked up
than the word fuck.
Pay inequality.
Women are paid 23% less than men
for the exact same fucking work.
And women who graduate university with straight A's
get paid as much as men
who only got C's.
So bad grades
equal more bank.
Just because you're a boy?
Hello and hell no.
Pay up, motherfucker.
Shouldn't mean a penis to get paid.
Brief and violent. Fucked up fact.
One out of every five women
will be sexually assaulted.
2,
3,
4,
5.
Which one of us will it be?
So how many more women
have to get knocked down before society stands up and stops it?
Here's a hot tip.
Stop telling girls how to dress
and start teaching boys
not to fucking rape.
Where's luck?
All right.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay, so a lot of people are like, this is awesome because it's true. All of this stuff is more offensive than the F word. I'm trying to not to sidebar. I'm trying not to curse as much. Like, I'm not like a big, I don't cuss all that much, but I definitely want to like cut it out. So, yeah, they're saying like, this is great. The F word is definitely less offensive than all this other stuff that they're saying. But I am not a fan. I'm really not a fan of this. I really feel like... What'd you say?
Neither am I.
I honestly feel like it's apples and toilets. Because, like, whether you're a young girl or whether you're an adult, I do believe talking like this, like, I feel like they're just talking like this to talk like this, and it is offensive to me. Like, what are you saying? These girls are young, and they probably don't know what they're talking about in general. Do they know about what feminism is? Do they know really what sexual assault is? Do they know what pay inequality is? Like, did someone sit them down and say, like, hey, this is what it is, and this is how women are treated? Like, I really feel like this conversation didn't happen, and these girls are just like, well, we're child actors or whatever, like, let me just say this stuff so they can make their ad, and then, because at the end of the video, they're like, you know, these shirts are $15, and every $5 would be donated to these awesome charities. And I feel like, obviously, they're just using these kids just to sell their shirts. And I really don't feel like the message goes with what they're saying.
I would have to agree with you. The main point is that I don't think that these children who are spewing out such vulgarity, I mean, not that, you know, I wasn't vulgar earlier, but, I mean, these children, these are kids, and they're being exposed to things such as rape and sexual assault and these such profane language. Like, I don't agree with it. I get what they're trying to say, like, oh, this is actually less offensive than the things that we're talking about. But what's offending me is that this child is being exposed to something that they don't... Let children be children. Like, a child shouldn't be saying the word rape and sexual assault and saying the F word. Like,
right.
This baby should be out on her big wheel playing with her, you know, with her kid sister. Like, that's my problem. That's what offends me. Mm-hmm. It's not even the, you know, it's the words and things that they're saying, that's what's offending me, because this child is not out here being a child. This child is being fed lines. They don't know what the hell they're saying. And I don't know. And like you said, I don't think that the child, they sat these children down and, you know, explained these things to them. And I wouldn't want them to explain these things to them because they're children. They shouldn't have to grasp such complex and adult ideas, problems, whatever, at such a young age.
Right.
That's a big problem for me. I'm sorry. I don't like it. I don't like this ad.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. But a lot of people seem to like it, and I'm just totally not a fan of it. Like, like whatsoever. I would be highly upset if I took my child to a casting and thinking that, oh, they're gonna dress up like princesses because they're all in like princess clothing and stuff like that, and it turned out to be something like this. And
I'm looking at the comments, and someone said, I might be getting old or something, but that many fucks in an ad for anything would distract from any message that might be present. It doesn't matter what point they are trying to make by using the language. All I hear is the language.
Right, exactly.
And then somebody else says, but they don't give a flying fuck. What do you think? It's all about fucking merchandising, like you said. Oh my gosh. And then the person responded, I fucking forgot about any fucks they would fucking care to give. I guess we're all fucked by the feelings of frustration fucking forced on us by this kind of fucking manipulation. Fuck them all. Or, you know, fuck it. My God, that's so many fucks I can't even deal right now. And God, forgive me for saying so many F, for giving so many F bombs. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Let's see.
This isn't the first ad that I've seen like this, that where they use kids like this in this situation. I just think that, listen. I grew up in a family sometimes where they really said, like, children are better to be seen and not heard. And it's not that far removed. I'm sure there are tons of people still like this. Why use children to try and demonstrate, like, such complexities?
Yeah.
And then have them use adult language like that, like, it really doesn't make any sense. Because I'm sure not many people are going to be like, oh, let me hear what this little girl in the princess dress has got to say, whether she's dropping F-bombs or not. People are going to be like, oh, she's so adorable, and look, her hair is all curled, and that, like, thinking for the wrong reasons anyway. Like, people are just going to have to understand, we just want to be equal, and that's just that. And if adults who even use simple terms try to explain that to someone, then a child's not going to.
Right. You know what? But I don't think we're alone here, because almost everybody who commented on this was not a fan of it. Someone called it slacktivism.
I don't even know what that is.
Not activism, to just, you know.
Oh, you right.
Yeah, it's profiteering as far as I'm concerned, and it's slacktivism, neither of which deserve a round of applause. And, you know, there was that part in the video where the girl, where they're saying, you know, they give the statistics on how many women will be sexual, or will experience sexual assault in their life, and the little girls are counting, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which one of us will it be? Like, yeah, that's so off-putting. And this person was upset. She's like, yeah, I found that extremely off-putting, especially in the context of selling a bunch of dumb t-shirts. I agree. Like, this is going way too far to sell some t-shirts.
Yeah.
You know what? I could have done without the curse words if the girls were just out there talking about, like, you know, we're not equal, we need equality. Buy us a shirt with a lot of tood. Not necessarily using the F word, I think that would have been a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably would have been received better by me, but apparently people are receiving it well, but not necessarily. I'm not at all. I don't like it.
No, not a fan. Well, that's that. Let's move on to what we learned.
Yes. Are you going to start?
Yeah, I'll start. Well, I saw this post on BuzzFeed. They had 20 facts that should be common knowledge but aren't. And I actually learned a lot. So I'm going to have just a few points of today I learned. The first is, for an aspirin to save your life during a heart attack, you need to chew it. I didn't know that. First of all, I don't take aspirin, so I'm not going to know that. I hope I don't have a heart attack, or I'm gonna need the Bayers, because I don't buy Bayers. I feel like that's the heart attack medicine. But
it definitely is.
I mean, it makes sense, so it can get into your stream a lot faster, but I just never would have thought about that. It says, aspirin, which inhabits the platelets that speed blood clots, works fastest if chewed. A small amount is all you need, and since time is of the essence, chewing delivers the anti-platelet effects through the blood vessels in your mouth instead of the digestive process.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah.
The second one, this one is a good one if you're out at a festival, if you're out anywhere and there's a porta potty, you have to go to the bathroom. It says, if everyone puts the lid down in a porta potty, the smell will vent out of the pipe that leads to the tap. And I never really thought about it, like, because you just go in there and you, like, hold your breath, like, if you really have to go.
Right.
And I guess it makes sense. Like, I never even really noticed the vent up at the top.
Yeah, neither did I.
But it says it won't stink up the porta potty itself. When the wind blows over the top of the porta potty, it creates a suction effect that drags the smell out.
Oh.
So everyone, who's listening, if you use a porta potty, make sure you keep the lid down so it gets to stink out for the next person.
Don't shit in the porta potty. How about that?
I mean, it's not just shit. Sometimes people's pee stinks.
If it's a lot of pee, definitely.
And then there's other things that go on. I don't know.
Ugh.
Right.
Bathrooms are gross.
Very gross. Very gross. Oh, this one I was really like, what? Claudette Colvin refused to give up her seat to a white person 9 months before Rosa Parks did.
Yeah, that one was like, wow. But did you hear the reason why?
She's 15 year old and she refused a bus driver's orders to relinquish her seat. Two police officers arrested her. Colvin says that civil rights leaders didn't think a teen, especially one with a very dark complexion, would be a good poster child for their movement.
Ain't that raggedy?
It is raggedy because Rosa Parks is light skinned. She's very light. Mm-hmm. She's very light skinned, or she was very light skinned.
So it makes sense. She's very fair.
Yeah. So yes. I'm definitely interested in learning more about her.
Me too.
And it looks like there's a book about her called Claudette Colvin, Twice Towards Justice, and the book was a National Book Award winner, and it's by Philip Hughes.
Philip Hughes. Gotta read that.
And let's see, one more. This one actually broke my heart. Feeding bread to ducks is dangerous. Any artificial feeding of waterfowl leads to a surplus of fecal bacteria and poor animal nutrition, and it even affects migration patterns. White bread in particular distracts ducks from their natural healthy diets and can lead to unhealthy diseases. And that really upset me because my dad would take me to the park and we would feed the ducks. We would like go there with our loaf of bread and feed the ducks. And I'm so afraid now of how many ducks I've killed at Bushnell Park. Like, it made me so sad when I first read this. I was like, really? Like, we used to go there like every week and feed the ducks in the Bushnell Park, and now you're telling me that? So, people, don't feed bread to anything. Just keep the bread to yourself.
And I don't even know where that came from. Like, why do people feed ducks bread?
I don't know. I'm sure one person then was like, oh, they're eating it. Let me try it. And everyone did it.
And they keep fucking coming back. I hate ducks.
Why?
Because they're mean.
Oh.
Ducks, geese, all of that shit. All of those birds are mean. No, I'm okay. Y'all can eat whatever y'all supposed to eat in the water. No way. And they don't go away. So, like, they'll come back and they're waiting for you to feed them and stuff like that. No, I'm okay. Please don't feed ducks. Because I lived in a very tropical climate, and we had all types of animals. So we had ducks, we had geese, we had swans, we had alligators, everything, guys. So, and it would be in your backyard. Like, you have an apartment complex, there's a huge lake back there, and so people would feed their ducks, and ducks would be there all the time. There'd be duck shit all over the place. Like, it was just gross. The only thing that was cute were, like, the baby duckies. I used to love when the baby duckies would come, and that's it. Other than that, please keep mama ducks and, you know, Drake's, please keep them away from me, except Drake, Aubrey Graham. He can come as close to me as he wants to. But all the other Drakes, please stay away. Like, don't come over here. And then if they would mess up your balcony because they're all, you know, trying to fly by and they're pooping all over your balcony, and so now you have to clean up your balcony. It was gross. I don't like it. Please stop feeding the ducks. I'm glad that this is out. And it makes sense because that's not what they eat. Bread doesn't grow in the lake or right. in the water. So why are people feeding ducks bread?
I didn't know.
No, it's not your fault.
I didn't know. I'm a murderer. All right. What did you learn?
I learned something. My roommate, she's from Australia, and I learned that the Aboriginal people, they don't call them native, indigenous. They call them indigenous. The indigenous people of Australia, in their language, they didn't have any E's.
Wow.
So, yeah, they don't have E's in their language. So, like, the word kangaroo, that's the Aboriginal term. for that animal. They're the ones who made it up, kangaroo. And so, like, all their other stuff is really, like, a lot of D's and G's and I's. So, like, my roommate, she lived in a town that was called Dong Dingalong. That was the name of the town. And so it was funny that, because I was, you know, discussing this with Ari yesterday, and funny enough, like, there was a book, a 300-page novel written without a single letter E.
Crazy.
Yeah, if you can try to think of 10 words right now, I'm sure those 10 words that you think of, at least 6 of them are going to have an E in it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And so far, you know, there's only, like, a few sentences long, and has already used it 14 times, the letter E, from what I'm reading right now. I was reading something, and in this, you know, in the sentences that I read, E was used 14 times. Now, imagine trying to write an entire novel without using the letter E a single time. And this is exactly what French writer Georges Perec did in 1969 with his novel A Void. The title comes from the translation of the French term La Disparition, which literally translates to, in English, to the disappearance. And so it's 300 pages of text. The letter E does not appear once in the French language. Many translators have attempted to bring the book into their native language doing the same thing, avoiding the most frequently used letter in the language, but it's proven to be very difficult. The Spanish version does not use the letter A, as it is the most common letter in their language. Much like the or B in the English language, there is no instance of the most common word in the French language, which is le, and that means the. In Spanish, the top three most frequently used words contain the letter E, el, de, and que, which mean the, of, and what, or that. So yeah, so there was a book written with no letter E. I guess that's probably easy for them to do. I don't know. I don't think it would be easy to do in French, because actually there's a lot of E's in French.
Definitely.
Lots of E's. So I'm sure that was a very difficult task. And I think that's pretty cool. I always wonder how come they don't have, I need to look into it a little bit more about the Aboriginals and why they, know why the letter E was not necessarily a letter or a sound in their language. That's so weird.
It's very strange.
Yeah, very peculiar. Or different. Let me not say weird.
Yes. Yeah.
Different. Very different.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. You know, I shy away from using the word interesting, because usually when I do say it, I don't mean it in the nicest way. So when I say something is interesting, like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's just, like, a way for me to say, like, that's kind of crazy, but okay. Like, so I usually don't say interesting, but in this instance, it is actually very interesting that they don't use the letter E. I'm not being shady this time.
You were definitely Shady Boots in the beginning of the show.
I'm Shady Boots all the time. I'll be Shady Boots, and I will take it and wear them and shine them up.
I love it.
What do we have next?
It's TV time.
TV time!
Whoop, whoop.
Love TV.
We do.
What are we talking about for TV time?
Well, there's been a lot of new shows, obviously. It's still fall TV. And a few of the shows have been, like, romantic comedies. So, there's been Marry Me on NBC, which just debuted on, last week. So, they're up to their second episode. There's Manhattan Love Story on ABC, and there is A to Z on NBC. All these letters. So you watched Marry Me.
Right.
Marry Me is about a couple starring, I don't know the character's name or the real girl's name, starring Penny from, you know what, I'm going to look it up because that's rude. Like, no, let me not call her by another character from another show.
Right.
That's very wrong. Okay, so it stars... Come on, scroll. Don't embarrass me on the show.
Yeah, don't do that.
Casey Wilson is her name.
She used to be on Happy Endings.
She used to be on Happy Endings, and I think she's on Broadway at one point or something like that. She seems like a Broadway girl.
Can she sing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it stars her... Okay, now my scroll is out of control. Okay, so it stars her as Annie and Ken Marino as Jake. They get engaged after 6 years of being together, but they're very different. So she's very, like, over the top, and he's very laid back. And so we're going to see their engagement unfold during the show.
Right, so opposites attract.
Yes.
Now, I like Ken Marino. He is so... funny. He cracks me up. So the first time I knew of him was he used to be on the show on Stars called Party Down, and he was like the manager. It was like this, they were, you know, they lived in LA, and it was a bunch of like reject actors or people trying to make it in Hollywood, but they worked, you know, they moonlit as caterers.
Mm-hmm.
Like they worked for caterers. And so the girl from what's the name of that movie? Oh, my God. Mean Girls.
Mm-hmm.
The one who was the raging lesbian who is also now on Masters of Sex.
Raging lesbian.
Yeah, her. She was on there. Ben from Parks and Rec. I don't know his name in real life. I think his name is Adam something. Was on there. And it's a really funny show. So Ken Marino, that's where I first saw him. And he does, like, cameos on The League. And then he also did, there was a show on Hulu. It was a parody of, like, The Bachelor called... what was it called? I can't remember now. That's so funny. I just said it earlier, but it's late and I've been up since 5:30. So
Ooh.
Just get over yourselves. I can't remember it right now. But yeah, Burning Love was the name of the show. It was called Burning Love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's really funny and he's actually, I really like his character on this show. Like Ari said, he's super laid back and, he's got a lot of charisma. He's pretty funny. His humor is very subtle, but that's how he is on all like the shows that he's always been on. His humor is very subtle. And I like that. I don't like that over the top stuff. And actually this girl, I don't necessarily like her. I mean, I didn't like her. Like on Happy Endings, she was like super loud and just like, like her mouth would just open so wide. And it makes sense now that you say that she was on Broadway because that's why she's always so, you know, animated when she speaks and so loud and moves her mouth and such diction when she speaks. It makes sense now. And so I did not like her on Happy Endings. And so I was thinking like, oh my God, I hope she doesn't bring that same like flair to this show. But it actually works on this show because, it's really like yin and yang, and she's not as bad as she was on Happy Endings. And she's actually really funny. Like I watched both episodes today and I chuckled a lot. I thought it was really funny.
So you didn't laugh a lot. You chuckled a lot.
I chuckled a lot. The first episode I chuckled. The second episode towards the end, I laughed. Like I laughed a lot.
Okay, good. Because I saw the first episode and I was waiting for the show. Like this was the one show that I was like, really waiting for because I did like Happy Endings and I laughed at the trailer for the show.
Yeah.
So, I was here for it. And then when I saw the show, I was like, okay, this is cute, but I'm not loving it. Like, yeah. but I did love Ken Marino. And I, like I said, I don't remember ever really seeing him in anything. So I thought he was funny. And one of my favorite parts from the pilot was when she's at his job, spoiler alerts, because whatever.
Get over it.
when they're at his job and she, I guess, you know, proposes to him and she was just like, you know, I thought you were going to propose when we were on vacation together and blah, 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 blah. And so then Stanley from The Office was just like, I don't mean to interrupt this love fest, but... I thought your dad was on his deathbed, pretty much. And so he got fired. And so he was just like, what part of don't come to my job? Don't you understand? What part of don't mention this vacation? Don't you understand? Like, That part really made me laugh. Just because of the way he said it. I thought it was so funny. So I'm definitely interested in seeing the second episode, which I guess I'll have to catch up on.
Yeah, second episode was really funny. And especially, I'm telling you, like, toward the last, like, 10 minutes, I was just like, ha 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 ha, like, just laughing so loud. And it was really funny.
So there are a couple other shows that like I said, there's A to Z and Manhattan Love Story. I really won't go into them too much. A to Z is about a guy named Andrew, a girl named Zelda. They meet each other and they date for like 8 months, and so the show is about their relationship. Manhattan Love Story is about a girl who moves to Manhattan, and her friends that she is crashing with, they, I guess, fix her up with one of their friends, and so, like, the show is about, I guess, how they're gonna progress into a relationship. So I just think it's very interesting to see that these romantic comedy shows are, like, coming about. Like, I wonder if that's gonna be, like, the new thing, considering it's only three shows. I just thought it was really interesting to see that it's already starting to become a trend.
Yeah.
And I wonder how it's gonna work out, like, next year, even in the springtime, when they have the mid-season shows. I've watched A to Z. I liked a couple of the episodes. I don't know if I'm so much here for Manhattan Love Story anymore. I watched the episodes and I wasn't really feeling the last one. So we'll have to see if I like it. But I don't know if I'm really here for the romantic comedy shows.
I am definitely not. I hate romantic comedies. Say it again.
I said, and that's that.
Yeah, and that's that. Like, I don't like romantic comedy movies, so I'm definitely not going to like a romantic comedy show where it's a really out, just up, like, the focal point of the show is the relationship. Like, boo! Who wants to watch that? Like, that's so girly. I'm like, gosh. But, like, Marry Me, it's funny. Like, I find it very funny.
Do you want to know why? I think it's like that because it's actually... They really write it like it's a comedy over romance.
Exactly. Right. Right. And not, it's not about romance first and then we're adding a bunch, you know, a little bit, some jokes here and there. It's really jokes first and then, oh yeah, don't forget, we're in a relationship.
A to Z is a little bit like that, but it's kind of like the side characters are the one that make it a comedy, because one of the characters on the show, he's so freaking funny, and I really think that's why he's the reason why I'm watching the show, because he's funny, not necessarily the main characters. Yeah, I know, like, it sucks.
I saw the ads on it for it on the subway, and I mean, I thought it was a book. Like, they're like lying on the ground, looking at each other.
That one was a surprise. Like, I didn't really want to watch that show, but it was like, I think it came on after I watched maybe Manhattan Love Story, and it was like, well, you might like this, and I was like, all right, well, I'll try it. And I watched it, and I was like, okay, that wasn't bad. So
yeah,
that's it for me.
Yeah. Well, I won't be watching A to Z or Manhattan Love Story, but I will definitely continue to watch Marry Me and Ken Marino. I'm not going to say he's the one saving it, but I'm definitely watching it because of him.
All right.
I just like him so much.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So, what do we have next?
All right. Our weekly segment. We have Grind My Gears this week.
Yeah. We haven't done Grinds Our Gears in a long time.
No.
So, what grinds your gears, Ari?
What grinds my gears? And this is... it's so hard to get around this. But I don't like listening to other people's conversations when we're in a public space.
Oh my gosh.
So that means, like, when we're on the subway, when we're on the bus, when we're walking down the street, like, I don't want to hear your conversation. And it's like, I know that's what the point of cell phones, that's why we have cell phones, so we can talk on the phone when we're not at home. But I don't like it.
Me either.
Last week I was on the train, and this woman, because my train goes above ground, she talked on the phone from my stop all the way till we got on the ground. And she was so loud, and she was, like, right next to me. And I kept, like, looking at her, and she's, like, she's going over everything, like, her appointments and this and that. And I'm just like, yo, like, why can you go over this stuff last night? Why can you go over this stuff yesterday? Like, what was it where you had to go on your phone and interrupt everybody on the train with your loud talking. Like, it's rude. I just find it very rude. And I know sometimes, obviously, you have to take phone calls in public spaces. I'm just not a fan of listening to other people's conversations in general. And I know that that's hard to get around, and I'm not going to avoid it. But, like, I just don't like it.
I don't like it either. I think it's rude, actually, to be in a public space. The train is mad quiet. Niggas is not trying to hear about you having to go to the doctor and pull off a wart and all this other stuff. Like, we don't care. And for you, why are you okay with having people know all of your business? Even though maybe it might be a one-sided conversation, if anybody on the train is smart and is able to use deductive reasoning, we know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
We know what happened. And it's annoying. Like, I don't want to hear your conversation. Like, if I'm above ground or whatever and I'm on the train, I'll just be like, hey, mom, or whoever I'm talking to, like, blah, 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 you talk for, 2 minutes. It's like, but you know what? I'm on the train right now, so I'll, give you a call when I'm stationary. Like, keep it to a minimum.
Right.
There should not be 10, 15-minute conversations on the phone while you're on the train. What are you doing?
Some people cannot wait to get above ground.
Girl.
So they can hit that send button. I'd be like, what? Like, y'all got the number queued up.
Queued. Hello? Like, wait, what do you mean hello? How did they pick up already?
If I'm sitting on the train and I'm next to someone who's on the phone, I will get my ass up if it's not crowded, and I'll walk somewhere else. Sometimes I'll even stand. Like, I need to get away from you in conversation because it's rude, you're loud, and y'all ain't even talking about nothing.
Right. This conversation can wait. You over here fussing about Ray Ray or Pookie or whoever the hell. And it's like, are you for real right now? Is this real life? What are you doing? Get off the phone.
I was
and
on
read
the,
a book.
Right. I was on the bus. I think to your house, actually. This kid was like breaking up with his girlfriend on the phone on the bus.
Oh no.
They were like arguing. Well, I mean, clearly it was just him that was arguing. He was just like, he was just so upset. Like, I'll be here for you and you don't even care. And I was like, this is embarrassing. Like, the bus is full. Like,
yes, what? Nobody wants to hear about you breaking up with your girlfriend.
Why do you want to do this right now?
Right. Ew. So, don't do that. It's so obnoxious.
Yeah, so that's what grinds my gears.
What
grinds yours?
Is podcasts.
Ooh.
Yeah, podcasts. I mean, we have one, of course.
This is awkward.
But we're like the originators, baby. Like, we've been in this game for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
And funny thing, you know what? I just think now it's like the cool thing to do. Like, people don't even have like a real direction with their shows, and they're just like coming out with these podcasts. Now, this is not to deter anyone from, starting your podcast. More power to you. We're going to give you all the support and all, the love that we can. But I'm just not a fan of now it being the cool kids thing. And also, the thing about it is that I know that these cool kids who have podcasts aren't listening to other ones. Like, Ari and I, we listen to podcasts. And we've been listening to them way before we even started our own.
Yeah.
And we still listen to them. And, I have my favorites that I listen to all the time. Ari has her favorites. We talk about them. Matter of fact, Ari was just telling me about a new one that she's been listening to, which is like a subsidiary, This American Life.
Mm-hmm.
And, we keep up. And it's just, we don't just listen to comedic podcasts. We don't just listen to, hip-hop
right.
podcasts or black podcasts or gossip podcasts. We don't just listen to that. We listen to a variety of them. I listen to Science Friday. I listen to Radiolab. I mean, we're listening to all different kinds because we love podcasts. It's not just, a specific genre that we're listening to. But I know that these cool kids aren't doing that. They just want to talk, and they just want to have people listen to them and have people follow them. And that's what's bothering me. That's what's grinding my gears.
I feel you.
I'm not a fan.
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan. And I'm going to find all of y'all, and I'm going to rate you guys with 1 star.
Ooh. I need to know what Sterling is going to say about that.
I wouldn't do that. That's so passive aggressive. But still, that's how I feel. That's what I feel to do, even though I'm not going to do it because I'm an adult. But still, stop coming to make a podcast just because you're a cool kid. No. If you're not really into podcasts, like, stick to your whatever you do.
Whatever you're doing.
Whatever it is that you're doing. I don't know what you guys do. You guys write blogs. You guys, you know, have vlogs. You guys, whatever, tweet. Stick to that. Stick to it. Don't come over here trying to, you know, have a podcast. Whatever. I'm not a fan of it. It's just like they're just all blowing up. Or not blowing up, but they're all popping up all over the place. Like, this girl got a podcast too? Like, damn. Like, what is she even talking about? Nothing. Nothing. She's talking about nothing. Nothing. Who are you right now? Go away, cool kid. Get out of here.
Bye.
Yeah. Huh. So that's what's grinding my gears. I just want, I don't want podcasts to turn into like the new fad. That's what I'm worried about. I mean, even though we've been in the game for a long time, so we definitely got clout and credit. So, like, niggas not going to be coming to us like, you know, nothing. We've been in this game since 2012, baby. Don't get it twisted. So, but the thing now, it's becoming like a fad, and I don't like to do, you know, things that are fatty. I'm not about fad things. However, now I can do the thing that people do on Twitter all the time. Oh, I was up on this before everybody else. You know how Twitter be.
Yes.
Like, something just came out today, and they be like, oh, man, I was up on that 15 years ago. Like, this is new, innovative technology. You definitely
right. Oh, you just caught on? You just not got on God. That wave?
Yo, that's the worst. You know what? That grinds my gears, too. Like, damn, like, how you already know? Oh, you wasn't up on this? You just found out about it a minute before I did.
Like, oh, my goodness. What I can't stand is when it comes to, like, music or whatever. Like, once someone has, like, blown up or whatever, like, that's what they're supposed to do. Like, we're supposed to now know who this person is because, like, now they're in the mainstream a little bit. But don't be like, oh, I knew about this artist when da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, did you literally discover them?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Is that what you did? When did you become A&R? When did you do that? No, I didn't know. Like, and that's the thing. Like, why are you mad at us for not knowing the person? Like, oh, y'all was asleep. Y'all didn't know about that, da 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 blah, blah. Okay, well, you're from Oakland, California, and so is this rapper, so it's expected for you to know him.
Right.
However, us on the East Coast, we don't know this person.
Thank you.
So now that we know him, you should just be happy that he's getting recognition. Don't shame us. That's another thing. Stop shaming people. At all types of shaming. Sleep shaming. You know, all types of stuff. Because I don't like to be sleep shamed. And that should make me mad. Like, if I'm tired, and people are like, oh, no, you got to get up because it's time to turn up. Don't fucking do that to me. I'm sleepy. Like, I don't give a fuck what time it is. If you don't turn up, I'm going to go take a nap.
Bye. Good night.
Right. Like, that shit pisses. No, it really makes me mad. And now that I've gotten older, like, I don't have time for the BS. Look, if y'all want to go party, I need to go take a nap. I'm tired. I worked all day. I'm glad that you are, you know, you didn't, you're up and at 'em. However, I am tired. That's great. So I'm going to go take a nap. You can go tone up. And that's that.
That's
they
that.
They see you yawning. They're like, oh, no, you can't be yawning. Oh, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I will.
Be like, you know what? I'm going to go home.
Right. Like, that should be making me mad. Don't do that. I hate when people do that. And I don't like to be persuaded either.
No.
That's another thing I don't like. If I've said no about something, please, like, try to persuade me to change my mind. Like, that just makes me so mad. If it's for the person's personal gain, that's what makes me mad. Not if it's like, but you know, this would probably be better for you if you da-da-da, like, where they're giving me genuine advice, that's different. But if it's for someone's personal gain for me to change my mind, that makes me so mad. Don't do that. If I said no, that's it. Oh, she said no. Okay. End of discussion. Don't try to persuade me, because then we're going to have a problem.
And I think I'm done with grinding my gears. I had a lot to get off my chest.
You did. How do you feel?
Oh my God, it was so cathartic. It was great. Was there anything else that grinds your gears? Because now I just sound like I just had like a total bitch fest.
I'm trying to think of what else grinds my gears. Nothing's come to mind. But I do definitely agree with the ones that you said.
Great.
Yeah.
And I'm sure next segment we'll have 50 more things to tell you that grinds my gears.
Probably. I'm gonna start writing these down as soon as they happen.
Yeah, like, oh, you know what? This shit is going in my grinds my gears.
No, I'm about to have, right, a grinds my gears diary. And people gonna know, like, ooh, is that a burn book? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it sure is.
Right. You knew what I was doing.
Did you know that in British manner?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
In British, like British terms, they call their planner their diary.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So they're like, when they go like, let me check my diary. Like, what you mean check your diary? Diary is where you write your personal, you know, secrets and thoughts. Like, oh, no, okay. But they're planners. It's, I mean, it makes sense because in Latin, French, Spanish, like a calendar or, you know, your planner is called a diario. That's what it's called in Spanish. So it makes sense that the planner would be called a diary. But in American English, a diary over here is your journal.
Interesante.
Yeah, interesante. And it's funny, a journal is something that you do daily.
Yeah, hello.
Well, I don't know. I just like fun facts and I like words. And I'm glad, I hope you guys learned something just now. And also during today I learned. All right, so what is it, cocktail time?
Yeah, it's definitely cocktail time.
All right, well, what's the drink of the week?
So we have Netflix night.
Netflix night!
Yeah, in honor of these romantic comedy shows. So for Netflix night, you're going to need 1 ounce of pumpkin puree, 1 teaspoon of honey, 1 ounce of fresh lemon juice, 2 ounces of bourbon, 3 ounces of ginger beer, 1/8 teaspoon of freshly grated ginger, and 1/8 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. And you're going to place all the ingredients into a shaker and shake it up. Strain the ingredients over ice into a rocks glass and garnish with a cinnamon stick if you like.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious.
And then you have the Netflix night. And that would be good, I think, for watching TV with your... with your boo, or if you are on a house date, it's getting cold, if you got someone to cuff or something like that. I don't know what the kids are saying nowadays. Do they still say cuff?
Ari just had her birthday recently, guys, so now she's all grown woman shit.
Yes. I am grown. I am a woman. WOMAN, and I'll say it again.
Oh my gosh.
What are you kids saying? You and your kids and your cursing and your feminism. I'm just trying to cook and drink and watch TV and sleep.
And sleep. Sleep, most importantly, with my old head.
Gosh, that sounds like we're drunk. Got drunk and fell asleep.
Oh my gosh. Woo. So, is that the end?
Yes, girl. That is the end. That is the end of our show. Bitch, you guessed it.
You was mother fluffing, right?
Mother fluffing.
Good. I've been cursing a lot more lately, but that would be good.
I need to figure out why. I'm going to do a case study on you.
On me?
Yeah.
I just, you know what? Whatever. I was purposely, you know, reserving myself and being less
I guess, filthy mouth, but, like, I'm grown, and it's, like, if I feel like saying that, I'm gonna say that. I don't use it in normal, like, everyday life or whatever. Like,
definitely not.
I don't
not.
Think I have a potty mouth. Definitely no. not. But sometimes it does help emphasize the sentence that you know, or the thought that you're trying to get across. So I will use profound language here and there, but I'm definitely not like a nasty mouth. Like, I'm not gonna curse in front of my mom or anything like that, and definitely not in everyday conversation. I'm not talking to people like FFFFFFF. Like, definitely not. But on my podcast, I do what the fuck I want.
You right.
Right, okay, you right. Anyway, so I guess that's the end of our show.
Yeah, that's the end of our show.
So where can we find you, Ariel?
Ooh, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ariel Cherie, and on my blog overquirkedandunfazed.com.
All right,
where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well, Lucky Stars, LuckieStarz. You can find us, the show, on Twitter, Catnaps, the letter N, Cognac. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/catnapsandcognac. You can find us on iTunes. Just search Catnaps and Cognac, and we'll pop right up. We're on Podbean, catnapsandcognac.podbean.com. And we're also on the Spreaker Network, so check us out there. If you would like to send us an email, maybe you want to us to add a new segment or talk about something, you know, there's something that you want us to, an issue that you want us to tackle, or also you want us to answer your questions for Ask R&D segment, please send us an email at catnaps.andcognac@gmail.com. And also you can just tell us how much you love us.
Yeah.
So don't forget to rate us and like us on Facebook and send us an email. Definitely do that. And also tweet us. We'll tweet you back.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
Enjoy your week and weekend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Put your picture on my mirror. Start to blush when somebody says your name. In my stomach, there's a pain. See you walk in my direction. I go the other way. I start to stutter when I speak. Try to stand, but my knees go.